Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
This hotel is ready for its final close-up. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
So we live in Los Angeles. Yeah. We do a lot of places about Los Angeles on this podcast.
I'm still like a tourist, and I've been here for a long time. And I like to remain a tourist and like excited about Los Angeles. You know more, I think, about the history of its darker side than I do. So I'm always learning like kind of something new. And I've been to the Knickerbocker Hotel, probably, right?
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't have gone into it. You may have gone next to it, the Lido.
Okay, yeah.
Like, it's the sort of thing, it's like right in the middle of Hollywood. It is right in the butthole.
Oh, wait, what hotel am I thinking of? I'm thinking of the Roosevelt.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the Roosevelt.
Roosevelt you can go into.
No, yeah, problem. Yeah.
And in Bowl. Fact, we're talking about rooms people died, and we should do Marilyn Monroe's bungalow.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that'd be great. Bungalow 12 or 16, I forget what it was.
Well, we are... Okay, so we are very excited. We're doing something very... speaking of doing episodes, we're doing a special Halloween month.
Yes.
On Janis Joplin. And amazing. It will all culminate where we'll be doing a live episode. Well, it's... it'll be live in a sense, but it'll also be recorded. But we'll be doing the episode in the room that Janis Joplin died in.
Yeah.
And we'll also have a medium. Yeah. We're going to be doing a lot of really weird stuff.
Yeah, fun stuff, live.
So in October, you'll expect that.
Yeah. It's going to be so exciting and really interesting and fun and hopefully spooky as fuck.
So make sure right now, if you're on Apple Podcasts, make sure to subscribe, rate and review if you can. But if you're on Spotify, hit that follow button. Mm-hmm. Stitcher, wherever you are, make sure you're following so you don't miss this. Of course, you can check out Instagram, Facebook and Twitter, Ghost Town Pod.
Yeah.
And if you want to help us out, do more of these. Like, we're doing these, it's all out of pocket, right?
Yeah.
We don't make any money on the podcast. Not why we do it. But if you wanted to contribute to the Patreon, it's patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Mm-hmm. So we can do more of these. Going into the room people died and doing an episode and celebrating them.
Yeah,
it's not disrespectful, them. You know, it's to celebrate
it's just
them.
Like, yeah, to celebrate community and arts and really just like experiential, bring like an experiential element to a podcast, which you're listening to it and that's great. But there's a whole, like, there's so much to experience when you're talking about places and that's what we do.
And we're going to be taking a lot of, we have a YouTube channel, which I think is, you just look up Ghost Town Podcast. I think it's Ghost Town Podcast and Urban Explorations, but we're going to have a lot of video. We have some video on there now. Mm-hmm. We have a lot. You can email us at ghosttownpod@gmail.com if you have any. You can or any of the our social media if you just want to connect with us. Actually, can I read it? We have I got an email, a nice email message, and I don't want to. And we got one that's also in Russian, so I have to translate
Google
that.
Google Translate, baby.
Yeah. A traveling psychic asked if we were ever coming to Austin, and I said,
"Oh God,
hopefully,
I wish,
yeah,
yeah.
We definitely want to go there." And Manu Kenkun, Manukenkun, they discovered our podcast and they're currently listening to it. And keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and I'm going to. Should I translate this?
The Russian one?
Yeah, I don't
should
know
I stall
if it's.
While you translate?
What? But yeah, I mean, I'm just going to do a little Google Translate. And I don't know if this is we're finding out this in real time if this is a if this is just like some kind of like spam thing or it's an actual message.
Okay.
But we're gonna find out.
I'm excited. Waiting with bated breath.
Yeah, I don't really know. Let's see if this translates.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see what it is. Let me search.
I know, but we're really excited. It's gonna be like a fun kind of happening. I honestly, in like the spirit of Janis Joplin and like,
sure,
like,
yeah,
fucking creating events. And hopefully we'll do more of them. And because there's so much that we can do
locally too. So it's you know, it's not like we can't, you know, we do want to travel and go to places like we did, you know, mm-hmm. we talked about Lizzie Borden's house.
Yeah.
Love to go there.
For sure.
And understandably, it costs money and we can't really afford to do it, but we want to bring that, you know, so things like the Patreon mm-hmm. will help.
Absolutely.
I keep typing Google Translate and it just keeps going to, Google. I wonder if this is some kind of like Russian hack.
Mm-mm.
Michelle could read this. I think. She's Russian.
Where's Michelle?
She's not here. She doesn't. Why would she? She's probably watching Love Island.
Is it good?
She loves it. She loves Love Island. All I hear is just people making out. Because I'm usually working on something. I don't know what it says. Okay, here's the message. It says, "It's great that you subscribed. We hope you enjoy your visit."
Hmm.
That's the message I got.
Did you subscribe to something?
No, not at all. Are you sure? Is a message on Instagram.
Well, okay.
But if you want to send us a message on Instagram in any language,
pick one.
Ghost Town Pod. Yeah, we'll you know, that's what we're here for.
I agree.
You know, we want to hear what, as a community, what everyone else has to say.
Yeah. I absolutely fucking agree. I'm here. I'm open to whatever the universe brings me.
Yeah,
I'm grateful.
We're refreshing. We're just refreshing apps, hoping somebody will contact us.
I have two candles burning down in the corner of this table. So,
is that functional or is that just is
those
that
candles?
Yeah,
functional like for light.
I mean, I know it's but it's light in here right now.
Yeah,
is it just light? Is just
no, it's for
smell?
Spirit. It's for love and luck, baby.
Okay, you know. Is one love one luck? Or are they both love and luck?
They're kind of both.
Like doubling down on it.
I don't know. I paid someone a lot of money for those candles.
Okay, so it's all right.
It's really important.
Nice.
Don't look at them in the eye.
I won't. All right, so the Knickerbocker.
Okay, so the Knickerbocker Hotel. And it's one of those places, again, in Hollywood. Hollywood in and of itself, just to give you like a brief overview, in the 1890s is when Hollywood first started by H.J. Whitley. He's the father of Hollywood. It was just orange groves and like olive fields. And they were trying to make it into this real estate place. Hollywood stuff didn't really come in until 1910-ish. So there was a good like 20 years where it was like, what do we do with this place? But then it developed really quickly after that. So it, and also like it became like, you see those pictures, which we'll put one up on the internet, on the social media, we'll put it on the internet.
Yeah.
The internet doesn't have enough pictures. So we're gonna put one on the internet, of like horses bringing like shit up to the Hollywood sign. Like it was so rural, even in the times of young, like Hollywood.
Where New York at the time was like starting to get pretty bumping.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And even downtown LA, people, which had about 500,000 people, people are like, whoa, Hollywood, like a little podunk town. Like, let's get out of the fray of downtown Los Angeles and go to Hollywood to relax, you know? So it had such a different feel to it. But in the 1920s, it wasn't as rural, right? It was a vibrant cosmopolitan center boasting an increasing number of height limit 11-story skyscrapers. So you'll see a lot of those. Actually, Hollywood still kind of has that. There's not a ton of like super tall buildings. You'll see like the Capitol Records building, which is two stories taller than that. But it kind of flattens off. And this is one of those buildings. And we see it all the time. We were always doing, you know, like stand-up or improv, and you see the Knickerbocker Hotel, which still the sign exists. So it opened at 1714 Ivar Avenue. The luxe Spanish colonial building and its nightclub, the Lido Room, which also, like, remember that sign? Yeah. Like, I can see it in my head. Immediately became a hot spot for traveling aristocrats and folks from the film community. Again, in its infancy, people were trying, and film came out here because they were trying to escape regulations. LA was a free for all. People, when they made films in New Jersey specifically, it was like you had the government breathing down your neck. Here they could do whatever they wanted, and they did do that. So in the 1930s, the hotel was a long-term apartments for, you know, actresses, filmmakers, aristocracy. On any given day, there might be interviews, parties, dancers, string quartets, and the Lido Room. It was just this kind of place for culture. There were wedding breakfasts for minor film stars, evening banquets for the Athletic Colleges of American College Women, Athletic Conference of American College Women. Betty Grable hosted a hijinks costume party to celebrate child star Jackie Coogan's 21st birthday, which included Lucille Ball dressed as one of the Dionne quintuplets, and Johnny Mercer provided impromptu entertainment on the piano.
I've had Keith Coogan on my Friends Without Benefits. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. God, a little Hollywood.
Yeah, a little something in there.
I know.
Yeah.
It's the lineage.
It's name dropping. I call it name dropping.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
You can take your Betty Grable and you know what I mean?
Yeah, and shove it.
Yeah.
You can fucking shove it. One, there was an event there that someone had it strictly for dogs. So it was a guy named Al Martin, and he had a birthday party for his dog. And so he invited
Not much has changed.
He invited all of the dogs of famous people, like Joan Crawford, Mervyn LeRoy, but they're dogs. Yeah. So they could bring their adult, you know, but it was like a dog themed, all the dog treats. And there was even like some security guards. The dogs didn't bust anything up. So that kind of shit, again, it never changes, as you say. During the 1932 Olympics, the hotel hosted events for both Danish and Indian delegations. MC Don was one of the Indian athletes who stayed at the hotel during the games. As a child, he'd been inspired to come and be an athlete and try to, you know, move up in the ranks so he could meet his idols like Douglas Fairbanks. And he did. He stayed in this place. He won a gold medal. So in 1935, really, it kind of turned a little more macabre. Like, this is like kind of the golden age. All these people would stay here. Hollywood was still like, again, you'd go to Musso and Frank's, which was around since 1927.
I had a birthday there. I had to have like one birthday dinner there.
Haunted.
Yeah. It was great though.
Yeah. It's delicious.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really fun. So like a lot, something still persists, or even like the Pig and Whistle, mm-hmm. you know, where it's like now, like, what is it now? Like still a restaurant. I'm not even sure. But again, some places persist. This place has, and I guess I failed to mention that right now it's like a half-used retirement home. So
refresh me where it's on Ivar, because I can see the sign.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it? Like,
it's really close to the Capitol Records building.
Okay.
Above Hollywood.
Okay.
Like in the block above Hollywood, weird deserted.
Yeah, but it's before Franklin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's on Ivar.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I kind of know. It goes up that hill. Yeah.
You know where it is. Yeah. We walk by it all the time.
Because the hotel that's there now, the red, what is that one? That it's kind of a newish one.
Oh, but
that's,
yeah.
It's right. That's that's Sunset and Ivar. Mm-hmm. That's Sunset and Vine, I'm thinking of.
It's a newer, like it's a black, like a darker building.
Yeah.
No, this is, it's close, but you know what I'm talking about. We'll put some pics up too. So in 1935, all this stuff was happening. It was like this wonderful like place to see and be seen. In 1935, the Pacific Coast Association of Magicians held their third annual convention at the hotel. Bess Houdini, a magician and the widow of legendary Harry Houdini, attended the convention. Bystanders at the hotel and in Hollywood were privy to the magician's hijinks. Among free thrills planned for the public today by visitors are an automobile race on Hollywood Boulevard with blindfolded drivers at the wheels at 12:30 p.m. and escape from a straitjacket by a magician while hanging upside down outside the convention hotel. Like, it's an excerpt from what was happening there. So that's where she became like knowledgeable about it. A year later, in 1936, an event occurred that would seal the Knickerbocker's legendary status. Before he passed away on Halloween in 1926, Harry Houdini had told Bess that if he died, and if there was an afterlife, he would come back to her to prove it once and for all. For 10 years, Bess had been holding a seance every Halloween, waiting for Harry Houdini to give her a sign. The last seance, conducted on the roof of the Knickerbocker that she personally held, was a media sensation. So a young LA Times reporter named Gene Sherman recalled being sent to cover the story. A jury of highly reputable witnesses, including Superior Judge Charles Frick, was on hand. The seance itself was conducted by a gentleman named Edward Saint, a confidant of the magician's widow. It was a dismal, drizzly night. On a red plush carpet stood a table which rested a spirit trumpet, a bell, a piece of chalk, two slates, a pencil, and a black pad of paper. Mr. Saint urged Mr. Houdini to juggle the table, ring the bell, spring through the trumpet, or do something to manifest his presence. Mrs. Houdini said, "Please, Harry, I've been waiting so long." The solemn cadence of pomp and circumstance drifted through the loudspeaker. The automobile horns of the impatient living honked mournfully below. Nothing happened other than an air of eerie tenseness. The meeting broke up, and I made my way back to the office where I guiltily admitted that I had failed to get the interview with Harry Houdini. Under the circumstances, I wasn't too much to blame. So, unsuccessful, but, like, very poetic, right? Like, this, like, drizzly night on top of this hotel that had been, like, this golden age of Hollywood failed. And then things started to turn for this hotel. After the unsuccessful Houdini seance, the mentally ill actress Frances Farmer, now the legendary archetype of Hollywood's, like, tragic underbelly, like, beauty gone bad, you know, drank herself into oblivion there. Like, she lived there. In 1943, the police knocked on her door at noon, a warrant for unpaid DUI fines in hand. They opened the door where they found her naked in the middle of a drunken manic episode. She didn't cooperate. They had to, because she was scratching and clawing so much, they wrapped her up in her own shower curtain and carried her through the hotel, kicking, spitting, and screaming. In one reporter's words, she did not surrender peacefully.
Other than that, she was pretty cool.
She was pretty cool. Yeah. That, yeah. Most of the action of the Knickerbocker was witnessed by Speck, the beloved English setter of hotel manager Jack Matthews. Speck could often be seen ringing his master's doorbell, almost unbelievably was said to be able to use the elevators in his own elevator pushing button with his paw. He always let hotel guests exit and enter first, very polite of him. During the war, a group of pioneering United Airlines stewardesses called the Knickerbocker home in between flights, which often helped the war effort. Countless guests and residents of the hotel no doubt unknowingly walked by a lost, elegant-looking old gentleman swinging his signature cane through the lobby. This man, who was in a large part responsible for the birth of Hollywood, was D.W. Griffith. During the last year of his life...
And we talk about Griffith when we talk about the old... we talk about the Griffith Park Zoo, don't we?
No, he's not affiliated with that.
He's a different... There's nothing...
he's not Griffith Griffith.
Okay.
Yeah, just...
It's just a cool name at that time.
But he is buried in Hollywood forever, which should have its own like 14 episodes.
Yeah.
But this is a point where he was at the end of his life. No one would give him work. Like, he would just like hang out in the hotel, like almost already a ghost, wandering around, like reading books, like just like an old man. So he lived there. Screenwriter Frances Marion recalled a heartbreaking scene at a handprint ceremony at Grauman's Chinese Theater where she spotted a bewildered, stooped Griffith hovering at the edge of the crowd. Unbelievably, he'd never been asked for handprints. Although, is that true? I'm trying to think. I guess so. I got a lot of this information off of reputable sources on the internet, LA Times, Curbed, so... I assume it's true. On July 23rd, 1948, he suffered a massive stroke in his hotel room. He died later that day. 40s into 50s, Hollywood became less trendy. People were moving more towards Santa Monica, and the Knickerbocker's cachet faded. It increased to become like a place for people to like get some anonymity and like get away, and it was still like getting a little seedy. Ill-fated lovers Marilyn Monroe and Joe DiMaggio would often meet in the hotel bar for an incognito date. In 1954, it claimed... they spent their honeymoon in the hotel. Romantic. That same year, legendary architect Paul R. Williams oversaw the hotel's renovation. Elvis Presley spent time in a newly renovated room in 1956 when producer Hal Wallace brought him to Hollywood to star in Love Me Tender. And actually, he had a house in Beverly Hills after that. He didn't stay in the Knickerbocker for too long. And I actually know where that house is, too. It's right across from the place where Michael Jackson died.
Okay.
It's... pretty creepy.
We should stalk that out a little bit.
We fucking can.
Yeah.
In 1962, the faded Knickerbocker was no longer a sexy place to hide, but people still hid out there. That year, a sophisticated middle-aged woman checked in at the Knickerbocker under an assumed name. Her real name was Irene Gibbons, though professionally she went just by Irene, like Cher. During the golden age of Hollywood, she had been a celebrated costume designer, dressing stars like Ingrid Bergman, Marlene Dietrich, Carol Lombard, and her great friend Joan Crawford. What a monster. After retiring from film work, she had started her own boutique and continued to dress many of her famous friends. A week before her arrival at the Knickerbocker, she had shown her new collection at the California Fashion Show in Beverly Hills, telling one reporter, "Anything new and beautiful makes one think beautiful thoughts." So nice. Considering she continued to get drunker and drunker in this evening in the hotel room, writing suicide notes, including one to fellow hotel guests that read, "Sorry, I had to drink so much to get the courage to do this." She then slit her wrists at 3:20 p.m.
And there was really no indication that that was going to happen. She seemed pretty...
Yeah, she was like...
Yeah, okay.
So she slit her wrists, still not dead, jumped from the hotel window, and her body landed on the roof of the hotel lobby. Ooh. In 1966, longtime Knickerbocker resident William Frawley, better known as curmudgeonly Fred Mertz from I Love Lucy, suffered a heart attack while walking down Hollywood Boulevard. His nurse dragged him into the hotel's lobby, and an ambulance was called from there. He died in the hospital. And at this point, the Knickerbocker, I mean, like, mid-60s, late-70s, like, yikes. In 1972, the hotel was converted into a senior citizen housing for moderate to low-income residents. It's unsurprising that now many ghosts supposedly haunt the Knickerbocker. It's said that a beloved bellhop named Roger walks the halls while Marilyn Monroe stares at herself in the powder room vanity. But that's really more of a Roosevelt's thing.
Yeah.
Marilyn Monroe stares at herself in every mirror ghost in Hollywood lore. So don't get it twisted. Anonymous hotel patrons have been seen, doors slamming. In an ironic twist, Rudolph Valentino is often cited, even though he died 4 years before the Knickerbocker opened. Who are you seeing?
Yeah.
Who are you seeing?
Yeah.
But it's got a really patchwork history. It's still a low to mid income retirement home, but it's not really
populated. Do they remodel a lot of it, or do they just...
It's pretty... I mean, I've only looked inside. It's pretty gross.
Yeah.
So it's hard to even know. I couldn't find a lot of information about its
present.
People
that walk through just that entrance... It's the same entrance, right?
Yeah. It's the same sign.
I mean, royalty that walked through that entrance is, like, amazing.
Yeah. Like talk about, like, a rise and fall of a place. Holy shit.
I'm surprised that there's no kind of... If it's... I don't know how intact it is, but by, you know... Well, I guess once it's what it is, it can't make it something else, but...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I bet... I wonder if there was a time where people cared enough... Like, if it was on a decline, like, in the 80s or the 90s, would they, you know, make it more of, like, national, like, a more historic kind of...
Yes, but you think about the Hollywood sign, which, in, like, 1971 was in such shitty condition that, like, people finally fucking Alice Cooper and Hugh Hefner put some money into it to, like, repaint it. So, like, if you struggle with a Hollywood sign, like, the Knickerbocker is... But, yeah, I mean, like, Sorry, I sound so sick, don't I, on this?
No, it's working, though, for the episode.
It's working? Yeah. It's, like, kind of bluesy.
Yeah.
Sad, wistful. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah.
Sorry. But, yeah, I think, like, we should put more effort into preserving some of these places. And in some ways, I'm also surprised at how much is preserved, too, considering, like... Again, Hollywood is not a beautiful place to experience.
No, and really I understand, dirty. Like, there's a thing of understanding where, like, you know, you have to tear things up because of, like, more modern infrastructure, you know, pipes and electricity or whatever. But, I mean, it's just to put up something that's, like, you know, like, I love Panda Express, but you need a huge Panda Express. You know what I mean? Instead of this thing. And I guess all we can do is do what we're doing right now and document it as much as we can and go back and kind of celebrate it or whatever.
Yeah, which is what we're trying to do. But
single-handedly, I might add. Like,
we're heroes.
We're doing it all alone.
We are modern American heroes, pioneers in our time.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you like, well, then I better go to patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Then do it.
Yeah,
I guess.
Just fucking do it.
Yeah.
What calls you?
Do you want truth
and historic preservation?
If you were thinking about becoming a patron, now is the time to do it because our October. Mm. I mean, we're starting to slowly put more stuff, more video, more bonus footage out now. But starting the end of September, it's gonna get heated.
Yeah.
With stuff, weird stuff.
Pick up some heat.
Yeah. What was that?
Heat.
What was that?
Hate. That's me being tough.
Okay, I like how you just repeat it as an answer.
Yeah, I thought it would get to you, but it
no. God, if anything got
layer, open your heart.
No.